Now let's hold up our Bible and make our confession this morning. Say it like you mean it. Mean it like you say it. This is the Word of God.
This is the Word of God.
And I have what it says I have.
I have what it says I have.
And I can be what it says I can be.
I can be what it says I can be.
And I can do what it says I can do.
I can do what it says I can do.
My mind is alert.
My mind is alert.
My heart is receptive.
My heart is receptive.
I'm a winner.
I'm a winner.
And not a whiner.
Not a whiner.
I'm a doer.
I'm a doer.
And not just a hearer. Said, I'm a doer, and not just a hearer, in Jesus' name. Again, the Bible says we're all a part of the body of Christ, so turn to somebody in front of you, behind you, next to you, and say, thank God you brought the rest of my body this morning. Now turn to somebody and tell them, God loves you, and so do I. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Church, this morning I want you to turn me to Matthew 28. Matthew 28. We'll be talking verses 18 through 20. And as you turn there, the Bible says, merry heart doeth good like medicine. Remember, these are just humorous stories, so please don't be offended by them. And what I want to be talking to you about this morning is baptism. We talked about, we try to at least once a year to go out to the lake and rent the pavilion. We have fellowship and dinner, and then we have a baptism service afterwards. And we'll have a sign-up sheet in the hallway for those that like to get baptized. And we're still believing God one day we're going to have a baptismal built on here by the back of the church. We just need about $26,000. That's all we need, church. Okay? God's got it all. Amen? He can do it. I know He can. Praise God. But until then, we're going to be like John the Baptist. We're going to go do it in the wilderness. Amen? This first one is called a redneck baptism. Before performing a baptism, the priest approached the young father and said solemnly, baptism is a serious step. Are you prepared for it? I think so, the man replied. My wife has made appetizers, and we have a caterer coming to provide plenty of cookies and cakes for all our guests. I don't mean that, the priest responded. I mean, are you prepared spiritually? Oh, sure, came the reply. I got a keg of beer and a case of whiskey. Johnny was baptized and dipped in the water three times. At the third time, the pastor said, you are now baptized. You're a new creation. The old one is gone. No more drinking of alcohol for you. Your new name is Jacob. Jacob went back home, headed straight for the fridge. He took out a Heineken beer, dipped it in the water three times, and said, you are now a new creation. The old one is gone. Your new name is orange juice. What some of us will do, huh? Late one night, a burglar broke into a house. While he was sneaking around, he heard a voice say, Jesus is watching you. He looked around, saw nothing. He kept on creeping, and again he heard, Jesus is watching you. In a dark corner, he saw a cage with a parrot inside. The burglar asked the parrot, was it you who said Jesus is watching me? The parrot replied, yes. Relieved, the burglar asked, what is your name? The parrot said, Clarence. The burglar said, that's a stupid name for a parrot. What idiot names you Clarence? The parrot answered, the same idiot that named the Rottweiler Jesus. Last one. There was a little old cleaning lady that went to the local church. When the invitation was given at the end of the service, she went forward wanting to become a member. The pastor listened as she told him how she had accepted Jesus and wanted to be baptized and become a member of the church. The pastor thought to himself, oh my, she's so unkempt, she even smells a little, and her fingernails are not clean. She picks up garbage, cleans toilets. What would the members think of her? He told her that she needed to go home and pray about it and then decide. The following week, here she came again. She told the pastor that she had prayed about it and still wanted to be baptized. I passed this church for so long. It's so beautiful, and I truly want to become a member. Again, the pastor told her to go home, pray some more. A few weeks later, while out eating at the restaurant, the pastor saw the little old lady. He did not want her to think that he was ignoring her, so he approached her and said, I have not seen you for a while. Is everything all right? Oh, yeah, she said. I talked with Jesus, and he told me not to worry about becoming a member of your church. He did, said the pastor. Oh, yeah, she replied. He said he hasn't been able to get into your church yet, and he's been trying for years. Ouch, oh me, I'm oh my, or something, huh? Amen. Matthew 28, verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto him, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore, tell somebody he's talking to you, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. After a great rainstorm the other night, there was a good-sized hole of water in the backyard of two little boys. A five-year-old and his younger brother was back there playing in the water. Mom looking out at the kitchen window when the older grabbed his younger brother and shoved his face into the water hole. As the younger brother recovered and stood laughing, dripping and wet, Mom came running out of the house yelling at her oldest son and grabbed him and began to shake him. Why on earth did you do that to your little brother? Well, we were just playing church, Mommy, he said. I was baptizing like the preacher did in church last Sunday. I said, now I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and in the hole you goes. Amen. And church, I'm going to deal with something that has been controversial and sometimes even uncomfortable. Been divisive over a lot of years, different churches, because different churches have different ideas about baptism. And what I want you to do, I want you to have an understanding of what baptism is all about. Because when we do baptism, you do it by faith. If you don't have knowledge of it, you can't have faith for it, okay? And so that's what I want to help us to understand, some of the things that people say you got to do this way, and maybe this way, and it doesn't really line up with the Word of God. So I want you to just kind of bear with me this morning. There's even been an increasing number of Baptist churches accepting what used to be called alien baptism. Not baptizing aliens from outer space or illegal aliens, but accepting into a church membership those who have been baptized in other denominations. Okay? And what's wrong with that? Baptism means different things to different denominations. Some believe, and if I'm right, I believe the Baptists do, some believe that only ministers are allowed to baptize. Others believe that anyone can baptize. I believe that God can use anybody, okay? But I do believe there should be an order about things. If you're wanting to be baptized and the minister's not available, I believe that you should go to the minister and tell them what's going on, because we're a family. Amen. And family wants to share good things. Yes. And being baptized is a good thing. Amen? Amen. So I believe that there should be an order about that. But I don't believe anybody should be hindered from wanting to be baptized. Okay? Now, some churches believe that baptism is part of salvation, or that it's required to keep you saved. And we're going to see why I don't believe that. Baptism is a statement of faith that one agrees with the church that they're being baptized into. Acts 19 reveals some people getting baptized a second time when their faith changed. You can be baptized more than once. Okay? Just like you can make things right between you and God over and over and over. You get saved one time, and you may do things in your life that separates you from fellowship with God, and then you come back and repent, and your fellowship is restored with God. Amen? Amen. There are those who had been baptized in John's baptism, and they were looking toward the Savior. And so they'd been baptized, but once they learned that Jesus had come, they put their faith in Him, and they were baptized again. And you see that in Acts chapter 19. And I want you to make my clear, my goal is always to be biblically grounded, church. All doctrine, standards, understandings for faith is to be based on what the Bible teaches, not what your religion teaches you, but what the Word of God says about it. Amen? Amen. While Baptists practice believers' baptism by immersion, a lot of churches use other methods such as sprinkling or pouring. Also, they'll usually baptize people when they're infants. In the past, this difference has been a a life or death issue. This is what gets me. We can get so hung up on our religious beliefs that we'll fight and argue and cause strife and all kinds of jealousy and all kinds of things over what we believe. But church, I want you to hear me. It's more important to God that we walk in love than how we get baptized or how we take communion or all the other things, okay? I had an individual that used to go to church here, and we had communion one Sunday morning. And he got upset because I didn't get up and cook unleavened bread, and we used crackers. So he would not participate, and he made a big deal out of it. If you don't want to participate, that's between you and God, okay? But he made a big deal out of it. So after services, I went over to him, and I told him, you know, it's more important to God that you and I walk in love than what kind of cracker we eat. Yeah. Amen. God is looking at your heart. It's not always what you do, but why you do. Amen? Sometimes leaders of other churches wanted to execute Baptists as heretics. And Baptists were usually willing to die for their convictions. A 6-year-old told his mother that he had been baptized. Well, Mom knew he hadn't been formally baptized, so she probed a little further and she asked him to explain what he meant by baptized. Little Blake then enlightened his mom. Last night in the bathtub, I put my face under the water and I thought about Jesus. You see, there's probably some people here today that think baptism is sticking your head in the water and thinking about Jesus. There's probably a handful of folks who argue that baptism was only intended for the first century Christians, or that the Bible commands only spiritual baptism and not water baptism. But they don't have a whole lot of evidence to support their case and they don't have a real convincing argument. And though we may differ about the mode and objects of baptism, how it should be done, to whom it should be done, most Christians agree that it's important that we be baptized. Amen? After all, the Great Commission, the job that Jesus gave us, involves going and making disciples and baptizing them. And also because Jesus himself was baptized in Matthew 3:13 by John. And all the disciples were baptized. In Acts 2:38, the Apostle Peter commands the crowd, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Throughout the books of Acts and the rest of the New Testament, the clear expectation is that anyone who is a Christian is going to be baptized. And as far as we know, the thief on the cross is the only New Testament believer that was never baptized. So therefore, there's evidence that it's not necessary to be baptized to be saved. Though it is important, it is not required to be saved. Water does not save you. The blood of Jesus Christ saved you. Your faith in the blood of Jesus Christ is what saves you. Okay? What about infant baptism? We believe the Bible teaches that individuals to be baptized after he or she becomes a Christian, after he or she expresses faith in Jesus. That's a pattern throughout the book of Acts and the rest of the New Testament. An infant is incapable of expressing faith in Jesus Christ. Why do so many Christians practice infant baptism? There can be a variety of reasons. There are two types of texts that I've heard used to support this practice. The first passage is Matthew 19, verses 13 through 15. You can write that down, where Jesus blesses the children. And I think it's wonderful that we bless the children. But this text doesn't mention anything about baptism. Blessing and baptizing children are two different things. Okay? The second type of text consists of those scriptures which talk about household baptism. 4 times in the book of Acts, Luke says that a believer and the members of his or her household were baptized. Of course, none of these passages indicate that there were infants or even children in any of these families. I personally, and I don't want to get into, the Bible says it's more important that we walk in love than to get into arguments and about different things, because all it does is cause strife and jealousy. I personally don't believe in baptizing infants. I believe that what the Word says, that you need to be knowing what you're doing. You need to do it by faith. Amen? Also, how do we baptize? Immersion, sprinkling, or pouring? Reporting on baptism at a local Baptist church, a pastor said the whole atmosphere of the day was a blessing to all. All that is except for one. The small granddaughter of one of the baptismal candidates said to her mother afterwards, "I do not like that man." "Why ever not?" asked her mother. "Well," replied the child, "he tried to drown my grandma in that pond and she has a new dress on." You see, immersion is putting a person completely under the water. The Greek word baptismo means to immerse or to dip under. And this is something most Christians who are not Baptists still admit. Luther and Calvin, for example, both acknowledge that baptized means to immerse and that the early church certainly baptized by immersion. Brenner, a Roman Catholic historian, writes, "For the first 1,300 years of the church history, baptism was generally and regularly an immersion of the person underwater, and only in extraordinary cases a sprinkling or pouring with water. The latter was disputed modes of baptism and often forbidden." Some churches would not allow you to sprinkle or pour. The reason that sprinkling or pouring became common mode of baptism in various churches seems to be convenience. It's a lot easier to sprinkle water on someone than it is to immerse that person in a pool of water. To be blunt, following Christ isn't about convenience, church. It's about a commitment. Amen? And some of you may laugh and think it's crazy, but I remember when Brother Walker was here, we didn't have a baptism. We didn't go out the lake. He got a horse trough and put it in the back, and he dunked them back there. When you're doing it unto God, not unto man. Amen? Right. Amen? Now, there's a lot of opinion about how baptism by immersion should be done. Trying to imitate John's baptism of Jesus, some say that baptism should always be done outside, not in an indoor tank. And a few even say it should be done in running water, a river, or a stream, and not in a lake. And some of us are thinking, well, if baptism had to be done outside, then we can only do them in the summertime. Amen? Amen. I did do one baptism in the wintertime. Not a good feeling. It's hard to focus on God when you're freezing out there. Amen? Amen? Also, listen to this. In the past, baptism was a private family thing. They only allowed a family to gather, and those being baptized would be dunked in the nude. Man, am I glad we don't do that. It'd be hard to concentrate on God when your mama and your daddy and your sister and your brother are all standing up there watching you in your birthday suit, wouldn't it? Churches also have waited to have a one-a-time-year baptismal service like we're going to do. And all those needing to be baptized had to wait till that service. Now, Paul, when he preached and they got saved, they would take them out immediately and baptize them. It didn't matter if it was daylight or dark, they would still baptize them immediately. Amen? Most churches believe the individual should be put under the water once in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But other churches dip the person three times, one each time for the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. In some churches, the individual squats down, the pastor just kind of pushes on his head to make sure he gets all the way under the water. One group baptizes three times forward instead of one time backwards like we do. I don't know why they do that. The New Testament does not give us details about how baptism were done other than it was by immersion. And we know there's a symbolism in the death and the burial and the resurrection, therefore the laying backwards like a dead person would lay is the way that I baptize. We'll lay you back and then bring you back up. Church is a matter of obedience. He didn't say if you want to be baptized. He said, no, repent and be baptized. Baptism is just the first step. First step for those who really seriously want to go on to the second and the third steps. See, not first step to salvation, but first step after salvation. Blessings, maturity, power, holiness are all dependent upon obedience. When you're being baptized, you need to understand why you're being baptized. You need to do it by faith, and you need to understand the full benefits. Like Gary was talking this morning, not only are you symbolizing to the world what is taking place, that you're identifying with His death, His burial, and His resurrection, but there's also, the Bible says, when we are baptized into Christ, there is a spiritual circumcision of the heart. We're no longer physically circumcised. Jesus does a circumcision of our heart, a cutting away of the old flesh nature. Amen? In 1 Peter 3:21, he said, "The like figure whereunto even baptism does also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ." Baptism doesn't put away the filth or sins of the flesh. But when you're obedient, we have a clean conscience with God. It's a matter of standing up and being counted, church. When one is baptized, they're stating their allegiance to Jesus in a very public way. You're identifying, you're telling the rest of the world that He's my Lord, He's my Savior, and I'm sharing His death, burial, and resurrection. I'm going down and I'm coming back up into newness of life. Amen? Mark 8:38 says, "Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with his holy angels." Church, if we're not willing to be obedient to God and identify with Him to the rest of the world, then He says when He comes, He's going to be ashamed of us. You know, if God tells me to do something, I'm going to be obedient to what God tells me, regardless of what man thinks. People are going to talk about you. They're going to make fun of you no matter what you do. So you might as well please God and not worry about people. If you try to please people, you're going to burn yourself out because you're going to be up and down, in and out all the time. Amen? To some people, and this is often a rabbit trail, but some people think because you're a Christian, you're supposed to be perfect. None of us are perfect. Even when the rich young ruler came to Jesus and said, "What must I do to be saved?" And he bowed down to him and called him good master. And Jesus said, "Why call me good? There's not but one good." And by calling him good, he was more or less saying, "Are you calling me God? If you're really calling me God, then when I asked you to give your possessions away, if you really believe that I'm God and I'm telling you to follow me, you wouldn't have no problem with that." Amen? Amen? Church, we are not perfect. We are forgiven. Every one of us makes mistakes every day of our life. If you're looking for a perfect church, if you're looking for a perfect pastor, I've got news for you. It's not going to be perfect because when you get there, everything's going to change anyway because you're not perfect. Nothing really gets my goat, and I really have to, God help me, when people say, "Well, I thought you was a Christian." I am, but I'm still walking in the flesh just like you do. And I still have to deal with things like you do. But thank God when I do mess up, I've got someone to turn to that when I fall down, He picks me back up. Amen? He encourages me. He don't beat me down and say, "Oh, you blew it." No, He encourages me. And we should encourage one another. So many times we see our brothers or sister mess up and make a mistake or get into sin or into a fault. And what do? "Oh, did you know what so-and-so did?" All we do is just keep hammering them. No, don't knock them down. Build them up. Galatians 6 says, be careful, because when you see your brother overtaking a fault, you're supposed to restore him in love and meekness, because if you don't, you might find yourself in the same situation. Amen? Amen. After salvation, baptism does not save nor keep us saved, church. It symbolizes the salvation that we receive through Jesus Christ. Though some people claim that the act of baptism by itself washes away our original sin and provides the occasion on which we experience regeneration of the Holy Spirit, it does not wash away your sin. The instrument of salvation is God's grace. Amen? If we mix any kind of works in it, we no longer have grace, but we have works. Ephesians 2 verses 8 and 9 says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." We're saved because of what Jesus Christ did, not because of anything we can do, church. You can't earn your goodness. You can't work yourself to heaven. You can't do enough good things, good works, to get yourself to heaven. All we have to do is just trust in God, trust in Jesus Christ. He said it's finished. Now, He hung on the cross. He paid the price. His blood was shed. You and I, by faith, all we have to do is trust Him, church. He'll do what He wants to do in our lives. Not by works, lest any man should boast. None of us can say, I'm going to heaven because of what I did. You know, I'm better than old Brother Gary. The Bible says you better humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Because you start exalting yourself, guess what? God will He'll humble you under His hand. Amen? It's not anything that you and I did. It's because of what He did, church. Amen. There's not one mention of baptism or even a drop of water in Ephesians 2. Baptism is the outward symbol of an inner reality. It's a sign that distinguishes all Christians. Now, we may do it differently, but all around the world, Christians show their obedience to Jesus and their public desire to follow Him. It was an example that was set by Jesus. Even when Jesus came to John, John said, oh, no, I need to be baptized by you. And He said, no. In order to fulfill scriptures, in order to fulfill righteousness, you have to baptize me. Amen? Jesus commanded all believers to be baptized when He said it in Matthew 18, verses 19 and 20. In fact, notice He told the church to baptize, not optional. It wasn't a suggestion, it was a command. Christians in the early New Testament church practiced baptism from the very beginning. After Peter's sermon, see what happened to the new believers in Acts chapter 2, verses 41 and 42. Acts chapter 2, verses 41 and 42. After Peter preached, 3,000 people heard what was preached and were saved and were baptized. Now, you stop and think about this. You had 12 disciples. 3,000 people want to be baptized. Do you know they would have been there, they'd probably been able to spend about 15 seconds with each person if they tried to do it all. Even if the 120 that was in the upper room came and helped, they still couldn't be able to do it all. That's why I say it's okay for other people to baptize. But there's also, like say, an order about it, okay? 3,000 people, can you imagine that? Wouldn't that be awesome to be part of that? Church, I believe in these last days we're going to see even greater things. Amen? It's a symbol of salvation. There's no example in the Bible of anyone except a believer ever being baptized. In Acts 8, verses 12 through 13, says, but when they believed Philip as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized. Then Simon himself believed also, and when he was baptized. Acts chapter 8, verses 36 and 37. I'm kind of going fast this morning, so just write these things down. Acts chapter 8, verses 36 and 37. And as they went on their way, they came into a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me from being baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Philip took him down and he baptized him right then. Acts 16, verses 30 and 33. And he brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his, straightway. Now I want to say this. His whole house was baptized, but his whole house had to receive Jesus Christ. Okay? So many times we think because mom and daddy got saved that we're saved. No. Each individual has to accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Mom and daddy can't do it for you. Your husband and wife can't do it for you. You have to accept Him. You have to have a personal encounter with Him and accept Him as your Lord and your Savior. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Acts 18, verses 8, and Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his house, and many of the Corinthians hearing believed and were baptized. The prerequisite, believe and be baptized. Now, we've covered enough to realize baptism doesn't save you. But we are commanded to be baptized. The first step in a new life is submission to the King. So many people want Him to be their Savior, but we don't want Him to be our Lord. You hear what I'm saying? Oh, we want Him to be our Savior. We want to go to heaven. We want God to move things in our life and fix our kids and fix our families and fix our finances, fix our health. We want all those things. But we don't want to submit to His authority. But the scripture over in Matthew says, not everyone's going to heaven, but those who do the will of my Father. Amen? And he even gives an example of two lives or two houses built. One was built on the rock and one was built on the sand. One was doing it in obedience to what God said. One did it their own way. How many know when you build something on sand, it's not going to stay very stable because sand changes and moves around. But when you build something on a rock, it doesn't go anywhere. Amen? And these two individuals, one built his house on the sand when the storms came. And church, we all experience the same storms in life. We're all going to experience something in our life. He said, in this world, you're going to have problems. But one built it on sand, and when the storm came, the house was destroyed. But the one who built his house on the rock, the one who did what God said do, when the storms came, it did not destroy the house. Amen? Amen. Why else are we to be baptized? Because of the symbolism the act of baptism produces. Symbolism of the death, the burial, and the resurrection. Baptism is the rite that signifies our union with Jesus Christ. It symbolizes that we share in the benefits of Christ's death and resurrection. Romans 6, verses 3 and 4 says, "Know you not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into His death? Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism unto death, that like as Christ we was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." Church, we're not the same. If you gave your heart and your life to God, there should be change in you. There was change in me. The moment He entered into my heart, into my life, there was a change going on. It didn't all happen overnight, but I went from being the person that had to have drugs and alcohol and had to have other people and other things to fulfill my life to make me feel like life was worth living, to trust in a God that came in and told me I don't have to have all those things anymore. I didn't need all those things anymore. All I needed was Him. Amen? There was a change. It didn't happen over. It was a walk of faith. Step by step, day by day, as I learned and as I growed and I spent time with God and fellowship with God and began to understand what the Word said. When I first started reading the Word of God, I didn't understand it. It didn't make no sense. A bunch of these and thous and symbolism. Didn't make any sense at all. But as I grew with God, as I allowed the Holy Spirit to lead me and guide me and show me, and then as I applied, He said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." It's the truth you apply in your life. It's not just what you know. It's what you apply in your life. And as I applied it in my life changed. And it's still changing. Every day when you go in this Word, you can't come and spend time with God and walk away not having some kind of change. Amen? Washed by the blood, church. That's what we're washed by. I want to stress there's nothing magical about the water. If the person who's being baptized is not a Christian when he steps in the water, he's not going to be a Christian when he steps out. He's just going to be wet. Amen? Baptism doesn't have that power. That doesn't mean there's no spiritual benefit being baptized. But sometimes people make the mistake of saying, "Oh, it's just a symbol." But you see, when someone is baptized because of the desire to obey and follow Jesus Christ, that is not only a symbol, church. I believe God honors that as an act of obedience, and so being baptized can strengthen our souls because we're being obedient to God. And we're sharing it with our family. We're sharing it with one another. Amen? We had some good times at the little baptism we have out there. We have food. We have fellowship. And then we've had a really awesome time. And we baptized three. We baptized 30. Amen? It's not the water, church. It's the faith motivated into action. That's the key that causes us to have a changed life. A three-year-old girl sat watching a baptismal service. It was a new experience for her. She exclaimed in surprise, "Why did he push that guy in the water? Why, Dad? Why?" Mom tried to explain briefly and quietly, but Rena just wouldn't be satisfied. Later that night, we tried to provide an answer that a child's mind could comprehend. We talked about sin and told Rena that when people decide to live for Jesus and do good, they want everyone to know. We then explained that water symbolizes Jesus washing people from sin, and when they come out clean, they're going to try to be good. A moment later, we realized we'd have to work on our explanation a bit. She responded immediately, "Well, why didn't the pastor just spank them?" Church, it's Jesus that changes our life. Religion won't change your life. Religion is a bunch of rules and regulations that man put down that we're supposed to live by. All that does is put you in bondage. If you try to live by religious rules and regulations, you'll burn yourself out trying to be good enough and try to do enough. Amen? Amen. Colossians 2:12 said, "Bury with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of operation of God who has raised him from the dead." It's not the water, but the Spirit of Christ who resides in us. Amen? Yes. Scripture says, it's no longer the I that live, but it's the Christ that lives in me. Yes. Amen? The symbolism of the immersion into the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 1, verse 5, "For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence." Romans 8, 9, "But you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his." 1 Corinthians 12, 13, "So if we're by one Spirit, are we all baptized into one body." Boy, if a church could ever get a hold of that. The Baptist church, the Methodist church, the Lutheran church, the Catholic church, they're not our enemies. We're all one body. We may not do things the same way. We may not agree on things. But as long as we agree that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior, that's what's important, church. Said, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, we have all been made to drink into one Spirit. There's only one Holy Spirit. Ephesians 4, 5 says, "One Lord, one faith, one baptism." He's talking about being baptized into Christ, church. There are seven different baptisms in the Word of God. There's a baptism, John's baptism in water. Then there's Christ's baptism in water. Then there's baptism in suffering. Most people don't want to be a part of that baptism. Baptism in the cloud and in the sea. Christian baptism in water. Then there's baptism into Christ and into His body. There's baptism in the Holy Spirit. So there's different types of baptism, church, but the one we're talking about this morning is water baptism. Okay? The individual being baptized is stating to the world, "I believe in Jesus. I am now a follower of Christ Jesus." It's kind of like a wedding ring. In many ways, it's the ring on my finger is a sign to remind me that everyone who looks at my hand that I'm married and that I have one wife. That's the way baptism is. You're telling the world, "I got one Lord. I got one Savior. I got one Master." Yes. Commitment to Him and Him alone and no other gods. Leaving an old life, leaving sin, leaving religion, leaving these old beliefs, and my trust in Jesus. Think what it means. Sometimes family may not appreciate it. Sometimes you have to break with customs. You have to break with traditions. You have to break with culture or history. Sometimes there's going to be rejection. Sometimes your family is going to excommunicate you. Some churches may excommunicate you when you don't do things their way. You may even have to change jobs sometimes because of your belief. Many there were and are today threatened with bodily harm and death because they've been saved and baptized as a follower of Christ. Can you imagine being a Christian in the Middle East? We think it's hard. Oh, it's hard to be a Christian here. Can you imagine being a Christian over there? When they say you really have to lay your life down, they're talking literally about your life. It may cost you that. You don't have the freedom we have here to pick where you want to go and worship God. Sometimes you have to do it underground. Amen. Amen. A statement can be made multiple times, but usually only baptized once. But there are examples of people, like I said a while ago in Acts 19, who were baptized more than once. They gained a new understanding. Their faith changed or their beliefs changed. Maybe you grew up in a certain church and you were baptized, and now God's giving you revelation. You begin to understand the Word of God more than you did before, and you've changed churches and you want to be baptized again. There's nothing wrong with that. Okay? Baptism follows salvation. So sometimes we need to be baptized again. Beliefs change, church. Like I say, maybe you've been baptized in one denomination and the other denomination teaches something else. But yet, maybe you've come to a new understanding and you want to make things right between you and God. There's nothing wrong with going back and being baptized again. So if you're being baptized by the new church, you're making a statement. You're making a statement of agreement to that church. I believe like you. I am now of like faith. A lot of churches are dropping their act requirement membership. Thank God we don't have, and nothing against moving your letter and having cards and membership and everything else. There's nothing wrong with that, church. I just thank God you belong to this body because God sent you here. You come through those doors because God sent you here. And you leave through those doors because God says it's time for you to leave. Amen? We're all one body. It's important, church. If we want to be part of the church, it's important to agree with the faith and state that to the world. It's also a great opportunity to state it to your family and to your friends. We've had baptism before and had family and friends come, and they actually got ministered to, and they ended up getting baptized while they were there. And they just come to be a spectator. You never know what God's going to do. Amen? You're telling the whole world that Jesus means the world to me. That Jesus is worthy of our life. He's worthy of our allegiance. And baptism is a public declaration of your allegiance to Jesus. Church, He made His allegiance public to us on the cross. We need to make ours to Him. Amen? I want to read this story. I'm going to close on this. And I know maybe this is not what you came for this morning, but I do believe if we're going to do the baptism, you need to understand what you're doing to reap the full benefits of it. Amen? Otherwise, you just go down wet and you just come back up wet. This is called What You Teach. I want you to listen to this. These words are found in the book of James. Not many of you should become teachers. There are rather strange words to be written to Christians. They must be especially puzzling to church school superintendents who are forever, it seems, seeking to enlist and train teachers. Most of us would be utterly amazed, I think, if we knew how much others learn from us day by day. Perhaps this may be what James had in mind. So many lives are shaped daily by what we are, what we say, and what we do. Not so very long ago, visiting a home of a church family, I saw on the kitchen wall a plaque with these words written by Dorothy Nolte. If a child lives with criticism, he learns to condemn. If a child lives with hostility, he learns to fight. If a child lives with ridicule, he learns to be shy. If a child lives with shame, he learns to feel guilty. If a child lives with tolerance, he learns to be patient. If a child lives with encouragement, he learns confidence. If a child lives with praise, he learns to appreciate. If a child lives with fairness, he learns justice. If a child lives with security, he learns to have faith. If a child lives with acceptance and friendship, he learns to find love in the world. People both young and old learn from other people. It was Ralph Waldo Emerson who said, "What you are stands over you and shouts so loudly I cannot hear what you say." Oftentimes, we try to teach faith, hope, and love through lessons and words. Yet the only lessons many people really receive are the ones they see through our actions. All the words in the world about faith are useless unless someone is seen walking hand in hand with God. All the words about hope are in vain unless one sees that which proclaims. Many things about tomorrow I do not understand, but I know who molds tomorrow, and I know who holds my hand. All the words spoken about love are empty and meaningless until someone demonstrates it in action, that it gives more importance to the welfare and happiness of others than his own. Come to think of it, all of us are teachers, aren't we? The question is, what kind of lessons are being taught by the actions and the attitudes of your life and mine? Give God some praise and glory in the house this morning, church. And we will be setting up this baptismal service, and we'll announce it ahead of time. And like I say, it'll be a good time of fellowship. We'll have food. We have some awesome cooks in here. And we're going to believe God to have a good time. So if you'd like to be baptized, and if you'd like to be rebaptized, we're going to have a list out there, and you can sign up so we'll know how many people we're going to do, okay? And then those that are not going to be baptized, come and be participate. This is part of your family. Come participate. Come fellowship. Amen? I'm going to say something else. When you're baptized, I've seen people go down in the water, come up, had sickness or disease, come up healed. I've seen them go down in water, come up praying in the Holy Spirit. Amen? So you never know what God's going to do. He just says be obedient and leave the rest of it to Him. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Amen. I still got to get used to this thing. Wisdom. No, I'm not. Me and Janelle are going to run a foot race before this year's over with.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. If you'll stand, please. Bow your heads, please.